this meeting of the University City Council to order at 4:34 p.m. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay?
Present.
Councilmember Carr?
Here.
Councilmember McMahon?
Here.
Councilmember Cusick?
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Here.
Mayor Crowe?
Before you have the agenda that has been duly posted. I would welcome a motion that the agenda be approved. Motion made by Councilmember McMahon, seconded by Councilmember Carr. Any discussion, changes to the agenda? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. There are no minutes for this meeting, so we will move right to be approved at this meeting. We will move to the subject matter at hand, which is interviewing of the applicant for the Ward 1 vacancy in the council. I would like to welcome all of our citizens to the meeting, and if anyone would like to make a public comment or question, there are forms to be filled out that are by the door. Please fill it out, put it in the basket, and each citizen will be allowed 5 minutes to make their public comments. Thus far, the basket is empty. We will move forward with the interviewing of the applicant for the Ward 1 vacancy. As the record will indicate, we had one applicant for this position, Mr. Jeff Hales. Mr. Hales is here with us this evening and is availing himself of the opportunity to answer questions of council. And I know that some members of council do have questions for Mr. Hales, so I will leave mine for the last. And if my colleagues would like to start with the questioning, the chair would welcome that. Mr. McMahon.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Hales, just one question that I had noted in that you served on the Traffic Commission for a number of years now. Can you describe for me your view of how our boards and commissions work with staff and council, how those three entities should, or in your view, work together?
Thank you, and first, thank you all for calling the special meeting at 4:30. I've served on the Traffic Commission now for 5 years, the last two of which I've served as the chair, and I've served also as the secretary. The commissions, I think, play an incredibly important role. They are, with a few exceptions, primarily serve in an advisory capacity, but they play a very important role in the vetting process of a variety of issues, whether it be the Plan Commission, the Traffic Commission. I would say the role of particularly our commission, the Traffic Commission, is to study these issues related to traffic and parking throughout the city in depth and make recommendations to the council. And I've had particularly in the last 2-3 years, I think the commission has had a really excellent working relationship with staff. Everyone on the Traffic Commission, I think I can say, wants to make the right decision by and the right recommendations by our citizens. And there are a variety of problems that we face. The most regular is speeding, parked cars, and so those are the issues that we've typically faced.
Thank you, and thank you for coming this afternoon. So again, in terms of traffic and parking, and I know that you're familiar with the parking issues, particularly in Ward 1, there is a parking issue centered around Washington, in particular because of Washington University, and there seems to be some effort on the part of this council, at least, to kind of get that mix right. So, can you describe to us how you would view the problem? Number one, and number two, how you might handle some of the issues, particularly competition for spaces in front of someone's home during events at COCA, WashU, and just even the parking from WashU.
Sure, thank you. The area of Kingsland, both inside and outside of, or, I'm sorry, Kingsbury, both inside and outside of Ames Place has been a rather regular subject for the Traffic Commission over the last several years. One of the challenges with that area is the district that it falls within, COCA, United Methodist. There's a lot of traffic through there. It's also the main entrance for Ames Place, so there's a lot of traffic in and out. The other challenge is the number of apartments and the number of, oftentimes, students that are in those apartments. I have talked extensively with a number of residents on that block over the last several years, Janet Pearson and Siri Moran. I'm a regular recipient of their emails, and we have worked most recently to try to address the issue with party buses on their street. We didn't really have any tools to work within the ordinances, so if I recall correctly, we looked at working with staff to create an ordinance that addressed some of the concerns that were specific to them. They also had an issue with delivery trucks going down the street, but they had a big issue with party buses at all hours of the night. One of the challenges I think we face as a city is that there is the most common request for Traffic Commission is residential parking permits. And our code provides for a process by which property owners, 75% of the property owners, can petition. The challenge is we have a number of neighborhoods, and this is one, where we have people living in multifamily units, and the owners of those may be out of town, they may not be interested, and one of the things the commission more recently we've been working on is to try to establish some sort of residential parking permit option for multifamily areas where the demand is still the same. And one instance is Little Lindell, the 7200 or 7300 block, basically right before it cuts back into Forsyth. You have parkers on that street who park there and go to the airport on the Metrolink and are there for days. And the people on that street would love to have the residential parking that everyone else has, but there's not. So we have tried to be very proactive to serve all of the residents on the Traffic Commission and come up with solutions that fit the set of circumstances and needs that they have.
So my follow-up question is, how do you envision the council approaching some of the problems that you've been visible through the Traffic Commission?
Well, first off, I think listening to the Traffic Commission, because I would say the group that we have now is absolutely superb. They do their homework. They come prepared. And it has been absolutely, the last 2 years particularly, has been a pleasure. So I think the council should know. I can tell the council, and I'm sure Councilman Smotherson can attest, that the members of that commission thoroughly look at these issues, and I think their recommendation certainly carries a great deal of weight.
Okay, and then just to follow up to that, as you know, that the Centene building will be built at some point, and traffic and parking will become even more important in Ward 1. So, again, you know, with your constituents or potential constituents in mind, how would you attempt to interact with your constituents and to maybe even attempt to solve some of the problems that may be coming up?
Sure. It's been a while since we discussed or had any kind of update on Centene. I think almost maybe 2 years, because I don't think the U-City portion of that is anywhere near beginning. But I've actually already spoken, because my neighborhood is probably one that will be directly affected. The Altadena neighborhood, Maryland, Upper Westmoreland. I've spoken with the trustees in my neighborhood that it is something that needs to be watched, and there is a solution in a residential parking permit program should there be parkers that don't want to pay for the parking in the building, which is going to be more of an issue with the retail spaces and their employees. Centene's employees, we've been told, are absolutely going to have parking. The other challenge I think that we need to pay very close attention to is the volume of traffic on Jackson. From what I recall from the traffic study, I thought their projection seemed rather low as far as what they thought we would see in terms of an increase of traffic from Jackson between Forsyth and Delmar, and that may require some reconfiguring of the traffic signal at Jackson and Delmar, which is a county signal. One of the things that I hope, as the process goes through, that any infrastructure improvements that are necessary related to traffic, that those costs hopefully can be incurred by Centene in the development. One of the challenges on Forsyth is we've got multiple jurisdictions with the traffic signal. We've got county, state, and U City, and Clayton. Maybe not state, excuse me. That's county, Clayton, county, U City, and then county from east to west to east. And none of those signals talk to each other. So that's something that I know staff is working on, but we're not to that point.
Okay, and then one final question is switching gears altogether. You have a vast western section of your ward, and they may or may not know you. How do you intend to reach out to them and to involve them or address some of their issues? Or if you know what their issues are, could you give a brief description?
Sure. Many of those folks I did meet a number of years ago knocking on doors, and both when I ran and during the bond issue time. One of the things I think being appointed is an interesting position because you have to earn the trust of the people you're supposed to represent, that you've been appointed to represent. And I certainly recognize the importance of that. One of the things that I would like to do is essentially establish a campaign committee, probably, and raise some money and start actually putting out newsletters that could be dropped neighborhood to neighborhood. In the western section, I would envision that knocking on doors. Right now, I could certainly use the exercise and the walking. I've got a couple of suits I'd like to fit back into. But that's, I think, literally knocking on doors and hand-delivering information, from me and introducing myself again is kind of what I envision doing over the summer and early fall.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor Crowe. Mr. Hales, because you didn't have a campaign to run for this process, my question is, what would you like to achieve on this council in the next year? And if you can answer that specifically for Ward 1, but also for this city.
That sort of ties into I was kind of expecting a question along those lines, not necessarily in the first year. I think the most important issue facing the city, an opportunity facing the city right now, obviously, is the proposed redevelopment. I think the as this process moves forward, it is incredibly important to, as Mr. Clay said Monday night, that we work as a council, as a community, staff, everyone, the TIF commission, everyone, to get the very best out of this for our community, because it is truly, 4 years ago I remember talking about developing Olive and 170, and I remember Mr. Crow, Mayor Crow, mentioning Larry Lieberman talking about it 60 some odd years ago. It is truly, I think, an incredible opportunity, and we just have to make sure, I think, we get the very best out of it moving forward. So I thought what Mr. Clay said was absolutely spot on Monday night.
Thank you, Mayor Crow.
Mr. Hales, you mentioned that the development along Olive and 170. What, in very, I guess, broad terms, what would you say are you envision the three or four major challenges that face University City? And then conversely, what do you think are three or four things that University City really has going for it?
The challenges, are you speaking specific to the development, or just broadly?
Just broadly.
You know, I think that the single biggest challenge right now, in my mind, is reputation. Reputation of our community, reputation of our schools. A lot of that is, I think, unfounded. That's an interesting. Our number one challenge in terms of the city, or one of my biggest concerns, I would say, is getting a handle on our budget. Listening to the audit a couple weeks ago, report that our fund balances don't reflect what they actually are is very concerning. So I've looked at the budget. I'm probably nowhere near as up to date on that information as you are. I think it's incredibly important that the city and the citizens know what exactly our financial footing is today. And another challenge clearly is we have got to make headway, and we've got to find a police department, a location, a site. I thought the proposal of two sites was a very interesting one. I thought it was actually nice to get a different perspective rather than one choice or choice A or choice B, and choice A is not a good one, and choice B is hardly palatable. So the fresh perspectives on that I really appreciate. And I think I was actually quite impressed with the proposal by the city manager on funding the both design and then the building of the new police station. So I'm not sure if that's three or four.
That's good enough.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, and I apologize for my tardiness, and Mr. Hales, thank you for being present. I'm going to push on Councilman Smotherson's question a little bit, in that the challenge of a council person being assigned to a ward is always striking a balance between the needs of the ward versus the needs of the city. Now, I would say that rarely are these two things in stark conflict. I think what's good for a ward ultimately is what's good for a city. But there are times when certainly there are competing priorities, and in an environment of scarce resources, choices have to be made. So talk a little bit about your philosophy of balancing your role as a representative, a potential representative of Ward 1, versus the needs of University City as a whole, and particularly the third ward.
Thank you. Actually, I think this is a great question, because this proposed development, I've been talking about it with a number of my neighbors and citizens and on social media over the last year or so. This development, I think, is a perfect example of that scenario, because what is not good for the third ward is not good for the first ward, is not good for the second ward, it is not good for University City. To me, I think even though you're representing the voters and the citizens in one ward, I think you do have to take a broad look, and you do have to make sure, especially in this instance, that if your interests and the neighborhoods and the community in the third ward is not being served by a proposal, that's a problem. Because what happens in the third ward affects all of us. I don't know how to probably make that more specific.
And if I may, I think one area where again, conflict is probably too strong a word, but if you look at the policing needs, for example, in the first ward versus the third ward, those are often very different. And both are important, but they are different and may require different resources to address that. And so just, and this is perhaps more of a thought, just thinking about how we navigate that, how we meet the needs of the first ward, but yet understand the nature of the crime in the third ward is such it may need more attention. And how do you as a councilman explain to your constituents in the first ward, you know, we may need to do more over here because this is the nature of the issue over here?
Sure. I think I can speak as someone who knows my neighbors well as a trustee in the Altadena subdivision. I really don't think there is any concern about how our police presence is managed right now. I think the most important thing is that we listen to our police department on what their needs are, what resources are needed and where, and make sure that they have every tool and every ability to do their job to address whatever issues exist wherever they may exist.
We haven't spent much time talking about the two of the entities that probably have a greater impact on the first ward than any other, and that would be the health of the loop, and it would also be the relationship with WashU, in particular with their properties, the interaction with the students, and of course the contributions to University City. So if you have any thoughts on what issues in the loop are of concern to you or what you think the city should be doing to assist in the loop. And then on the WashU relationship, I think probably all of us come slightly with different perspectives on that. So I think this is kind of meant to be an open-ended question just to get your thoughts.
With regard to the loop, obviously what we have heard over and over again is the turnover in businesses, the traffic that's downturned, with the construction of the trolley. As someone would say, that train has left the station and it will open. I don't know exactly when it will open because on Traffic Commission that date has been steadily pushed back and pushed back. I think as I read, and I read the crime reports, the loop is one of the biggest areas of crime, and I think the perception of that is pretty real. I know that plenty of people who don't want to come down there in the evenings because they don't feel it's safe. I've been at council meeting after council meeting where we've heard people complaining about aggressive panhandling, excessive noise. Recently, I think there was a complaint about hate speech. I think the most important thing to do is to listen to those complaints and work to address them in a very direct fashion. So I did want to talk about priorities at some point, and WashU kind of fit into that, because there were a couple of priorities, and many of you know me from coming to these meetings. One of the things that I've watched, and I'm sure you all have read through the budgets year in and year out, is about our steadily growing costs and our flat revenue. I think I've read 6 or 7 or 8 budgets that talk about our flat revenue. To me, one of the most important priorities we have to have as a city is growing that revenue. And obviously this development is an opportunity to do that. But I think we need to look at every opportunity we may have. And I did have the opportunity to speak to Mr. Rose. I've always thought that we have had an opportunity to look at monetizing our trash transfer station. I think we have an opportunity to monetize our municipal garage. We provide the maintenance on all of our vehicles. One of the ways WashU could maybe give back a little bit more to the community is to contract with the city to maintain all of their vehicles, which they have many. Most of those I see over at various filling stations. The other concern I have is we are a city that can't afford to leave any money on the table. It was a couple meetings ago that we learned of a $1 million+ settlement related to fees that we should have been collecting but weren't keeping track of. I would expect that some processes have probably already been put in place to ensure that those agreements and those payments don't get overlooked, whether it be that specific instance or other arrangements. And third is Washington University. That is something that in the first ward is a very common discussion, especially Ames Place, but also in our neighborhood. The number of properties that they own presents a challenge. It presents a challenge to the city's bottom line. The relationship cannot be adversarial, but there needs to be a more frank discussion. I've been pretty pleased to hear some of that tone changing, and we need to make sure that we have that we are not being financially put in a challenging position, because in the end, if we don't raise these revenues, the last thing we want to do, I think anyone wants to do, is to raise our taxes. So I think all options, I'd like to see all options on the table for raising revenue without raising taxes and fees. And Washington University is a big part of that, and they could certainly contribute more.
And by the way, I do apologize. I could have asked you for an opportunity for you to make comments before we started it on questions, and we sort of started right in on questions. Are there any additional comments that you would like to address to us, or was that sort of a summary?
No, that was sort of expanding on Mr. Smotherson's question, but I wanted to talk more broadly about the what I think is more broad than economic development, the need to grow our revenue, because we haven't had much of a plan, and I know that there is a plan to restart the comprehensive plan. I think that's something that we need to take a broader look at. I've thought for a long time, you know, you look at Washington University has a master plan that goes out, I think, as much as 50 years. I think we certainly should have a plan that goes out 5, 10, 25 years that then is religiously updated on schedule, because that's been it's been very unfortunate that it has not been revisited since 2005.
Thank you. So I would like to kind of bounce off of the Washington University question. How do you think you can entice them to make a real contribution and an ongoing contribution to our community? Because as you probably often hear the same things that we hear, if we do it here, we'll have to do it in two or three other places. Mm-hmm. And while I don't think that, and I could expound on that, but I think I'll leave it for you to kind of flesh out. Where do you see the opportunities to increase our revenue, or to increase their commitment to our city? Because I don't, or maybe you think there's already a commitment.
That's a very tricky question. I think the most honest answer is to have an honest conversation. You know, we've dealt with some issues. Most recently, we dealt with WashU on the parking garage right across the street there, and they proposed to the traffic commission that they wanted to build a service alley through Civic Plaza out to Sergeant Mike King Drive, and the commissioners were adamantly opposed to that. And when WashU comes to the city and wants, I think, extraordinary accommodations, I think we have to have that conversation about our needs as a city. There is, you know, an extensive need for, obviously, policing, which they obviously help with through their neighborhood patrols and their own police department. But we can't get anywhere without having that conversation. And the last, since I've been coming to meetings and following the city for about 10 years, or eight years, excuse me, I don't think that conversation has existed. So I think that's a huge step. And certainly we provide a lot for Washington University.
Any other questions from members of council? Hearing none, I will reiterate again that there is a public comment section added to this agenda, and thus far there are no individuals who have asked to speak, so we will move past the public comment section and move to a motion to be made by members of council to fill the Ward 1 vacancy. Would someone like to make the motion?
I move that we fill the Ward 1 vacancy by applicant, by approving the appointment of applicant Jeffrey Hales to that position.
There's been a motion made by Councilmember Carr and a second by Councilmember Smotherson. Are there any questions, concerns, debate regarding the motion? Hearing none, I would ask that the city clerk do a roll call vote on this motion. Ms. Reese?
Councilmember McMahon?
Aye.
Councilmember Cusick?
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson?
Aye.
Councilmember Clay?
Aye.
Councilmember Carr?
Aye.
Mayor Crow?
Aye.
To Mr. Hales, congratulations to you, and I would ask Ms. Reese if she would move forward for the swearing in of Mr. Hales as the first ward council member for the unexpired term that exists.
So can we have a clarification on it? Because I think the unexpired term extends to 2020, and I think, this goes to okay.
The motion that was made was appropriate. My comment was a little bit too long. Your motion was correct.
Aye.
Jeffrey Hales.
Do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications.
Do solemnly swear that I possess all of the qualifications.
And am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I am about to assume.
And am not subject to any of the disqualifications named in the charter for the office I am about to assume.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and of the state of Missouri.
That I will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States and the state of Missouri. Charter and ordinances of University City.
And that I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice.
And that I will faithfully and conscientiously discharge the duties of the office I am about to assume with impartiality and justice.
Give Councilmember Hales a moment to sign the documents, and I know that all of you will join me in congratulating him and for his public service to our community and to the citizens who came out. Thank you very much for once again participating in your community yet again, and I would request a motion that this meeting now be adjourned. Ms. Carr, seconded by Ms. McMahon. Those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.